Father, again, we're gracious. Thank you for your graciousness for this time and to allow us to get together to discuss parenting, discuss important topics, to have good interaction. And we just pray that you would bless our time this morning as we interact, as we learn, as we think about application of principles from your word, and maybe in a more extended sense, but useful nevertheless. And I pray it would just be exactly that to everyone here. This would be useful and helpful. And all of us could think through these things clearly and with the mind of the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So we're looking at some odds and ends, and we're in particular we're looking at, I gave some advice for raising teens. I just want to review a few of those things. And then I want to, we didn't quite get through the questions on this section last time. But in case you weren't here last time, or in case you slept since then, which all of us have, this will give you a chance to remember what we said. I'm not going to go back over all the points, just kind of some of the bigger ideas. So we said, give your teenagers room to fail. Let them make mistakes, suffer natural consequences, as long as it's not dangerous. And this is in general helpful with kids, but especially with teenagers. You know, you're wanting them to become more and more independent. And you need them to experience, they need to experience the consequences of their decisions, just like you do, just like we all do. And so let it fall to them as much as possible. Don't be so quick to jump in there because you hate to see them suffer. You know, that's just part of life. That's part of what needs to be done. You're not being cruel to do that. You're actually being cruel to not do that in the long run. We made a big issue about talking with your teens. And I suggest that you discuss tough issues with them. Alcohol, drugs, entertainment, dating versus courtship, politics. Whatever is near and dear to you, or whatever is out there. I could have listed it there, you know, homosexuality is, and all the various things that are going on in terms of a sexual revolution in our country. Bad things. And that needs to be discussed. Because, you know, if they're not acquainted with the scriptures, if they're not made to think through those things, they're going to tend to flow with society. And you don't want them doing that. But at the same time, I say, allow them to say what they think or feel about things you discuss without immediately criticizing or correcting them. Instead, try to ask them questions that will help them think through their ideas. So with the teenager, you want to give them some space to, they're going to have started developing ideas on their own. They're going to be thinking through things, and they're going to be tending to go off a little half-cocked, so to speak, and maybe come up with some things that are a little bit funky, you know. And you just have to roll with that because they're formulating and developing their ideas. All this time they've just been operating under what you've told them, and they still are, actually, to a very large extent, more than anybody realizes. But at the same time, they need some space, and so I suggest don't jump immediately on ideas, but just ask questions. Why do you think that? Why did you say that? Or not in the sense that you're in trouble, but in the sense of let's kind of think this through, you know, and help them do that. As much as possible, train your teens to become totally self-sufficient and independent from you, economically, physically, emotionally, all the way around. Think through with your teen whether or not it's a good idea for them to go to college. And I point out there are other options. And we, you know, talked about how I mentioned Ethan, that he figured out how to go through college online. There's through a trade schools out there. My son went to Pulaski Votech instead of college. There are many people who succeed, even in fields of that normally you would associate with a college degree without going to college. And yet I realize, on the other hand, that there are some occupations or vocations that you absolutely have to have college. You can't be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher without going to college, obviously. So just weigh that up, and I just introduced the fact that, you know, you don't have to automatically assume every kid's got to go to college or they're going to be a failure. That's not necessarily true. So help them think it through. If your teen boy or girl plans to marry and have a family, help them think through the idea of having the mom stay at home with the kids. And I showed you a survey from 1994 out of the New York Times last time. We won't go back through that, but very large number of girls expected to have a career and work even though they have kids. And a very large percentage of the boys expected that their wife would work and not stay at home with the kids. Society's thinking is changing, and I don't think for the good. Now, I can't make a super ironclad case that the Bible says a woman must stay home and not work outside the home, but I think there are some biblical principles we could talk about, and there's just some common sense principles that could come to bear there and reach that conclusion. But I'm going to include that in the discussion here in just a minute, so if you have something to say about that, feel free. I personally think an older teen should not expect anyone to take care of him, was the other thing we talked about last time. A boy should be able to cook. A girl should be able to check the oil in the car. And I deliberately pick things that are sort of opposite of the standard kind of roles. I'm not against training teens that boys are boys and girls are girls, but we don't want to get so pigeonholed in thinking that way that they can't, you know, a boy can't cook something. Or, of course, there are men that cook. There are great chefs out there that cook. Or a girl can't check the oil in the car or something, or whatever. They should both be able to do that, I think. And they should both be able to balance a checkbook, manage their finances. That's a big deal. Managing money is huge. So that's just a review, quickly, of some of the things we covered last time. And we asked questions about part of those things, but there was a part of the questions we didn't get to. So I'm going to ask those now and see what you all think about this. Okay, so number one, what do you think about my assertion that going to college is not necessarily a good idea for every teen? I'll go ahead and put the questions up here and then we can kind of think through them. What do you think about my assertion that it's important in families, especially with younger children, to have a stay-at-home mom? And what do you think about trying to persuade your teen to accept that idea? And last question, what do you think about the idea of training teens to do things that are outside of the traditional roles for men and women, like teaching boys to cook or teaching girls to check the oil or do basic car repair? What do you think about that idea? So these are things I've asserted. I have reasons why I think what I do. I could draw on some biblical principles, but in some ways I have to admit I'm just either drawing from what I believe is wisdom or common sense, which is not so common. And so it's some of the things I've said could be considered open for dispute, although I don't expect a lot of dispute, but you might have some. So, or you might like to agree with it. So what do you think? Yes?
Whenever it comes to every teen going to college, I don't think that's a good idea, especially if they don't know what they want to pursue.
Yes.
I've heard horror stories of kids majoring in history and having no idea what to do with that.
Yep.
That's just kind of a waste of everyone's time whenever you do something like that. So I would definitely make sure that they know what they're pursuing, what they want to do before they, you know, start pursuing something that's not going to do them any good.
Yeah.
So another thing is cross-training boys and girls in other areas. My wife is pretty much perfect, but she has run a car hot a few times.
She what?
Has run a car hot a few times.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Cross training would definitely help.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, see, that's another reason why they should know, or, you know, or if your wife gets sick, you might be able to need to cook, you know. Or I told the story last week, I don't know if you were here for it, but that my youngest son got married and his wife had never been trained to cook. So he had to teach her how to cook. Fortunately, he knew how, because Sandy was good about teaching all the kids. So, yeah, that's good. And your thing about college, you're right. In fact, last time gave an example. One of my sons did that very thing. He went to school and majored in Western civilization history. A very interesting topic, but not unless you want to become a professor of that topic. That's about all you're going to do. And when he got to that point, in order to be a professor, you have to get at least a master's, probably a doctor's degree, which meant, what, how many more years of school? And he said, I'm done with school. He had his degree, and he moved on. And now he's, he's carrying the gospel to places and doing something completely unrelated to Western civilization. He's actually evangelizing Eastern civilization. That's a good thing. So, yeah. Good comments. Other thoughts from anybody Tim, I'm gonna wander back here and get close to you.
I like what Aaron said about not knowing what they want to do. I'll add on to that a different angle, being what God wants us to do. Our callings are different. And for some, I mean, they're called to high levels of requirement. I'm particularly happy that our new Supreme Court nominee went to Oxford.
Yeah.
So he can take on some of these elites.
Yep.
But not everybody needs to go to Oxford.
No.
So I think depending on what the Lord calls you to do, it could inform you on how to make some of these decisions. So necessarily for every teen, no.
Yeah.
No.
There's kind of a almost, in certain quarters of our society, I don't know about here, but a sort of a stigma attached with blue-collar work, and like it's something subhuman or undesirable. And, maybe on average, the average blue-collar worker doesn't earn as much as a white-collar worker. So what? there's things to be traded off there. If you're not inclined toward white-collar work, why should you try to push yourself to go into that when you're not even going to be good at it, not even enjoy
right.
it.
And I like the comparison between Paul, who studied under Gamaliel,
yeah,
and Peter, who's a fisherman on a boat.
Yeah.
And so there's, we can both do great things for the Lord in our different fields of application.
Yeah, totally agree. I mentioned last week that I don't have a college degree, but I'm in a line of work that normally you would have one for. That's kind of unusual. I wouldn't expect everybody to be able to follow that track, but it can happen. We've got others. I could pick on Martin over there if you don't mind. You don't have a college degree, right, Martin?
No.
And you've done like everything under the sun, and I think most of my life he's earned more than I do. So blue collar work, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what you'd call that, but.
I think one of the things that I came to was that I think it also depends, to piggyback on Tim's, it appears that most people, not all, but most people that are educated in Arkansas stay here. Well, this is a professional blue-collar state.
Yep.
Just all there is to it. If you were raised in Silicon Valley, I'm sure you're going to have a degree.
Sure.
Because that's what you do in that culture. This culture is different, and because of her, be honest, that I've been able to take advantage of a lot of different things that
yeah.
I wanted to do. And I think, I'm still pretty sure that I'm much happier with the track that my wife took instead of going the other way, which I had an opportunity to do, but she wasn't going to have any part of that. So,
no part of that.
I think he's moving from Arkansas.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm very, very happy with the way things have gone. I do like the culture. I didn't at first because I'm not from here. I'm from the West, and I like the people. They're friendly. They have time for one another. It's a little bit more laid back. I just appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I tend to think if you stay here and you put in your time. It's the same way with those that even have degrees. You have to put in your time. If you put in your time, I think blue collar in this state pays very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so even though in general blue collar work may not pay as well, sometimes if you own your own business, maybe it could pay well. We'll find out, won't we? What about we talked about traditional role. Let's make sure we covered all this. What about the stay-at-home mom idea? I have a feeling most of you are in favor of that, but maybe not. Yes.
So, okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around the first two in kind of combination with each other going from my experience, where our lives, our family started, and then kind of where we are now.
Okay.
I grew up in a home that you were going to go to college. That's just what you did.
Yeah.
Both my parents had college degrees. All four of us, that's what we were going to do. That
right.
was pretty much kind of understood. And none of us thought that. I mean, I became a teacher. I taught high school for 9 years. So I never thought I would stay home. I thought I would have a career, and I knew I wanted to teach. And so I think having the encouragement to go to college, and I didn't know right off that I knew I had a
lean towards math, so I actually got a math degree, and then to education with it. So fortunately, I wasn't one that just sat in there for 4 years and didn't know what I was going to do, but I did appreciate my parents kind of putting that challenge before me. I think that they probably would have had I would hope we would have had an open conversation if I did not want to. So, like, that's kind of like our, you know, like, I kind of see us encouraging, like, when you get done, you know, college is a great option, but hopefully having that dialogue that if that's not where, you know, where you see yourself. But to stay at home, like, I mean, we didn't have kids, and so, you know, I'm glad I had a career, and then I even worked my first year. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from. And then looking at, obviously, now, we had we not moved from Texas to Oklahoma, I probably would still be teaching, honestly. And I think and I think that's a God thing, because I love it now.
Yeah.
But I was in my ideal teaching position.
Yeah.
And I probably would have not stepped down.
Interesting. Yeah. I can
so
see that.
And so I moved. I was leaving the state, so I no longer had a teaching certificate that was, I mean, I would have had gone through some hoops to get that taken care of. And so it did put us in a position where, you know, with a child, I could stay home. I could still, if I wanted to, work on my certificate. So, I don't know. I mean, I am all for mom staying home, but at the same time, I really enjoyed having a career. So, I don't know. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't have any major thoughts, just
we
a whole lot of...
We didn't come prepackaged like that. We evolved into
into the idea of staying at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad's a blue-collar worker. He went to, back then it was called Texas State Technical College. He did auto body, you know, he paints, fixes cars. But just growing up in the culture that I did with the everything depended on the oil price and if it rained or not. I mean, it was, when it was good, it was good. When it was bad, it was real bad. And by the time I was left to go to college, we were about 7 years into a 25-year drought. I mean, it was literally blowing up and drying away. And my generation was the first generation in that little, tiny little bubble to leave. All of our parents went to school with each other. Our grandparents went to school with each other. Nobody ever left.
Yeah, that was more common in the past.
So it was I remember I worked in the oil fields when I graduated high school, and I think I told some of you guys this, that the last words I heard from me and another guy that was working there was they told us to go get an education and never come back.
Oh, wow.
Or you're stuck just like we are. All we know how to do is raise cows and work on pump jacks.
Yeah.
And that was literally all they knew. I didn't have that skill, really. I was better at working with people than I was things.
Yeah.
So my dad's, I couldn't do what my dad does. I have a hard time holding a screwdriver sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, back to your what do you want to do question. I went to grad school because I really hadn't figured out what I was going to do. But if I wouldn't have done that, I'd have never met Karen. I mean... Yeah, there's a bigger picture than just going to school and getting educated. Mm-hmm. There's so much more than, you know, and then you go to one job and that opens doors up to things that you never had even thought about. I mean, so it's hard to, don't get too pigeonholed and kind of looking through a straw at this is exactly what I want to do, this is exactly what it's going to be like for the next 30 years, because it just spreads and opens and you move and... You know, you kind of change, your thoughts change on it, on things.
Sure.
Hopefully more for the good. I mean, I think we've changed more for the good. But, you know, down to the roles or whatever. So, I left and went 400 miles away to go to college. So, I knew I had to figure out how to cook and clean and screw up laundry. I made everything red the first time I did it, you know. So I just threw it all in there. And, you know. But, you know, George Foreman grill and a barbecue pit, and I knew how to cook everything else. But you got to have some. I mean, when you just leave, you pluck up everything you are, and you're not going home on the weekend, and you go home about 3 times a year. You got to figure that stuff out. And that was the best thing for me, was just get away and figure it out.
Yeah. Of course, I'm advocating that parents treat their kids in such a way they can learn before they have to move out.
I had basic knowledge of, I can throw the stuff in there and hit start, you know. kind of had to tweak it a little bit, but.
So.
Well, I've got some additional thoughts.
Yeah. Sure.
The actual way the question is framed.
Yes.
Because we can assume that this stay at home versus leave the home is post-industrial revolution. Things have look very different today than they did even in biblical contexts, where the man working could have very well been operating out of the home, a shop attached to the home.
So true.
There's the fact that we're going into the city, or we're working at the factory, that's a really new concept.
Yeah.
So I guess what I would say is that our culture has dealt a different hand.
It has.
In how to try and answer this question.
It has. And, you know, it is new, but it's incredibly common. Mm-hmm. As you say, it's sort of dealt a stamp. Although you can still do it. And even like we talk about stay-at-home mom, I know moms who try to do things from home. My daughter tried to do that for a while. She had kids at home. And she started a cooking business where she sold stuff on Etsy, you know, and she could do that while being at home and having the girls help her cook, you know, and that sort of thing. So, we're not saying that she is not productive. I mean, if you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, a lot of the things that she's doing involve trading with, the merchant ships and, you know. Yeah.
But so, like, in a culture where both man and wife are kind of operating the family business together.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she's working right alongside him, and he's parenting and caring and preparing right alongside her. What we're down to is biblical principle.
Yeah.
And how can we make that applied to this? And because it's principle, this can look different
in
a lot of different ways.
Like
we were reading last night about World War II, the men go off to war. We need to make bullets. We need to make planes.
Yeah.
If this country is going to survive.
Yep.
So get the ladies in the factories doing that work. So circumstance, culture, all factors.
Yeah, that's kind of what actually started women working, I think. That's my perspective of it. Mm-hmm. Rosie the Riveter, you know, and all that, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're not trying to squeeze things into some kind of a preset mold. Everybody has to look the same. I'm trying to word things in such a way that you all feel the freedom to vary from some of this, but we do want to think about some of the factors that are important. One of them, in terms of the stay-at-home mom, I think the idea there is that you are going to be the best ones to parent your kids because you are the parents. That's not to say you can never get a babysitter or something, but you know, people today in many quarters are, you know, just pretty much putting their kids under the care of someone who doesn't care that much about them or can't do the job that they're doing. And they're actually enjoying not being around their kids. You know, I remember I read that out of the little survey thing that I did a while back. A guy did a study of all that. He was a secular guy. So this is what we're trying to avoid. At least I think it should be avoided. But if there's a way to work that out where, you know, like in your case, you were working, you didn't have kids, it sounds like, at first, you know. And in that case, you know, it's not the issue. You know, there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying that women shouldn't work. We're just saying that, you know, if the kids are at home, somebody needs to be home with them. So anyhow, it's
Oh, and I agree with all those things, actually.
Yeah, I know there's going to be a sympathy for that around here, but I just
better. There's a book written by one of our friends who's in the Little Rock area. I think it's called The Unintended Feminist.
Yes.
So it's based on the premise that we are very anti-feminism.
Yeah.
But we can be feminists and not even realize it
because
of the culture we're in.
I think even the author of that book can be in a few places. My wife and I read it, and she said, you know, she's not quite as far along as she thinks. I like the book. I like the idea.
We're just in.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I'm familiar with the book. I think it was an interesting read. So.
Well, the part you said when we think about the idea of traditional roles of men and women, like teaching your girls, all I can remember reading that, first thing that popped into my head was when I was 10 years old, overhearing the church secretary standing outside and her car's overheating and my mom telling her, well, you need to put some water in, you know, the radiator, it's overheating. My car doesn't take water. She had never pumped gas in her entire life, had no concept of even what was in her car engine, and it was overheating, and she was just no, it does not take water. Because she didn't know.
Right.
I thought, oh, and she was ultra, I mean, just from a little kid's perspective watching her, everything had to be prim and proper, you know, her the long, long hair, and, you know, girls did not get their hands dirty.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I think the point of that is your mom couldn't have been right, because this woman listens to her husband when it comes to how to take care of, this is man explains what goes on with the car, not your mom.
No, it was, her husband did everything for her in that regard. That was not her place. There was this definite separation of men's work, women's work. She took care of the house and the kids.
Right.
He did all of that kind of stuff. Well, sad to say, in their case, her husband left her. And when he did, she was absolutely, she had, you know, four kids then, and didn't know how to do anything for the house to keep it running and functional. It was like her hitting a brick wall with reality. In that sense, I can see how, I don't think there's anything wrong with teaching your kids how to do both aspects. Like, we're teaching the boys how to do inside work. Hannah, I want her to learn how to do outside work as well. They all need to learn how to function inside and outside of a home. But he recently, you know, I've begged him, would you please show me how to change the tire? Please.
Yeah.
Because I am going to get stranded on the side of the
road. Yeah, that's
right.
I know
it's bound to happen, and I want to know.
And I did.
And he did.
You're right.
You know,
you're right.
Being able to, now I know how to change out a battery without electrocuting myself.
Yeah.
change the tire on the car. It's things like that that it makes me feel more secure, in that if he's busy, I don't want to have to sit there and wait hours and hours and hours with a car full of kids because I didn't take the time to learn how to do something that is not, it's not wrong. Granted, if he's there, he's going to change the tire. I'm not getting out there and getting dirty.
Right.
But if he's not there, I need to know how to do it.
I've done that.
Vice versa. When I'm out of town, I want to know that the kids aren't starving and running around naked because he won't go in the kitchen.
we want to... I mean, it's one thing, you can have your traditional roles. As I told you, Sandy and I have very much divided things along traditional lines all of our marriage, and we're quite content with that. But it's another thing to absolutely not have any knowledge in what your partner does. Certainly there's some value, as you pointed out, in doing that. Yeah, Michonne.
Pastor John MacArthur has spoken about how when he was a child, his dad was a traveling preacher and was gone like almost more than half the year.
Yeah.
He was gone a significant amount of time. And his mother basically had to, I hesitate to say fill both roles, but she knew how to do everything concerning taking care of fixing things up around the house when necessary, managing, you know, gardening stuff. I mean, everything. But when dad came home, she easily and joyfully slipped this submissive role of, you know, I am under his authority, and you know, in a way that the roles were very distinct. They knew when dad was home and mom was not fulfilling another role, for lack of a better term, due to dad's absence. But I mean, he was gone due to ministry work. And so I can only imagine that I don't see anything wrong with, you know, having the knowledge in case it helps you in your future situation with your spouse, whatever that might look like, rather than simply going, well, for the sake of tradition, we need to make sure that there's an ignorance there.
I don't think that's a good idea, but
let me ask you, as the teacher of the class, do you think then that the ideal, in the way the question is written, is the ideal for mom to stay at home?
Assuming there are younger kids in the home, that's where I'm making that qualification. If there are no kids, or if, even as the kids get older, when they're a little more independent and so forth, but somebody's got to look after the kids. I'm assuming that the primary responsibility for providing for the family falls to the dad, not that the mom can't help with that. So in that case, if somebody's going to be there to take care of them, it's going to be her. So that's why I would answer yes in that case. And that's why I say you should encourage your kids to move in that way. But then that's also why I raised the question, because I know many have had experience doing otherwise, or just have seen that. It's very common in our society and very much being questioned in our society. So I wanted to make sure we kicked it around and had a chance to air out some of the different thoughts on that. So y'all have been very good in all that.
Well, obviously Scripture is not silent. We're all giving our opinions, and we can just make up whatever we want.
That's not true.
Well, I mean, we haven't discussed any of the biblical principles. Or why generations ago, why did they all stay home? Why was that the accepted? You know, what is there, that culture, was it more biblical than this culture? Or, you know, because that's the bottom line. What does the Bible say about anything?
Right, yeah, that has to be our baseline. You know, some of the biblical principles I would be drawing on would be that, as we said in the very beginning of the class, that you as the parents are the primary ones responsible for the raising of your kids. So if you're farming that out, that can become a problem in terms of fulfilling that principle. That's not such an absolute principle that you can't have a babysitter, obviously. So now we're getting into fine-tuning that. But that's a principle that needs to be in place. I asserted a minute ago, I think it's the primary responsibility of the husband to be the provider. I think I could find a passage to that effect. You know, a man who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. Women, typically, from a scriptural standpoint, are not seen as having that responsibility laid on them, not to say they can't help with that. So there's another biblical principle I'd bring into play. On the other hand, we see the Proverbs 31 woman did some things that you could kind of construe as some kind of work, not to say that she went off to a factory somewhere. That wasn't, you know, and you asked the question, you know, like, why did they not do that in the past? Well, it may not have been an option in the past. You know, the idea, as Tim pointed out, of going off to work in another location or something like that is more of a development with the Industrial Revolution, with the formation of cities and things like that. And, you know, the Bible doesn't speak of those things particularly. It doesn't forbid them, so I think we have some liberties there. But we just need to not forget the biblical principles that are in place.
What do you think? Now, I mean, I know lots of people who don't bat an eye at the dad staying home with the kids and the mom going out to work because she's got the better degree and she can raise more money. And I mean, because that's the whole idea, right, is money?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously
there has to be
a provider there. That feels very unnatural to me, you know. Especially since I say, you know, the husband seems to be the one who's given that responsibility. He could say, well, I'm delegating it to her. If somebody wanted to really argue that, you know, I wouldn't spend a lot of time arguing with him.
Well, I guess I still am. I mean, it's still, what does Scripture say? Because it's not good enough just to say, I'm old-fashioned, I'm a traditionalist.
No, it's not.
Conservative. You have to know what verses are in there that made me think this in the first place. Am I doing this because Scripture has something to say about it, or am I just doing it because, well, that's the way my mama did it, and that, you know, and that's what I'm asking. Where are your verses?
Yeah.
I know they're there. I'm not questioning that they're not there.
Well, in some cases they're there. In some cases, actually, maybe they're not as much there as we would have thought. We just operated from tradition. But Martin, do you want to chime in here for a second, or
yeah,
since you raised your hand?
Yeah, I want to see what kind of trouble I get into here.
Oh no! I hate it when Martin says that.
We've gone round and round here, so let's put it on the table. Is it sinful for a woman that has children to work outside the household and put their kids in a situation they're going to have to be taken care of by somebody else while she does that? Is it sinful? That's the question.
Yeah, and somebody want to, I mean, I can give you my answer, and I will in a second, but I'll give you all a crack at it first.
My answer is it depends.
Good answer. Safe one, anyways.
In January, I read a book, maybe the title, What's the Difference? About manhood and womanhood.
Uh-huh.
Piper talks about a scenario where, let's say, the man gets in an accident and he can't use his legs and he's confined to his bed. And
right.
His role as a man has not changed. The desire to be provider in the sense
right.
that I have this responsibility is still upon him, but in all reality, he can't go out and provide for the family. So the spouse helps out.
Take your war situation. That's the best one there is. He's in a foreign land. She's got to pick up the slack and help provide for what our nation's at work doing. That's a good one. Try that one.
Right. So I guess there's the rule and then the exception to the rule. The rule, I would say, is yes. Father, husband provides, and then wife, mother is nurturing. And if the context of that happens to be that work is in the market in the city and home is right here in the whatever house structure that is, if that's the context, then yeah, that's what that's going to look like as the norm, as the ideal. But we know that circumstances can change for different folks and things look differently.
So the yes was what? Yes, it's sinful?
Well, for that man who got injured, and so spouse has to go out and work, I'm not going to say that he or she is sinful.
So you're not going to say it's sinful?
I'm not going to say that is
okay. Sinful.
Now, if intent and motivation has become like a feminist concept, that I am going out to work because I feel that I'm entitled to this, and boy, I'm not going to let him get away being the sole provider and having the career and getting away from the kids. I want to be able to do that as well, and I just feel confined, and there's more of a rebellious spirit behind the desire to go out and work. Then I would say that there's probably some sin involved in that motivation.
The sin and the motivation I would agree with, but not the act of not being there for your kids.
No.
You've got to be careful there, because circumstances don't dictate sin. Sin dictates them. It either is or it isn't. It's pretty simple. Now, we want to make it complicated, and we do that a lot of times with sin issues. We want to make them complicated. There's always exceptions. I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's very clear. It either is or it isn't. Now, I will agree in some areas you've got to figure out whether it is or isn't. But you can't keep figuring this out. It either is or it isn't.
The difference between murder and manslaughter is intent.
Yeah, and the scriptures teach, do not kill, do not murder. Doesn't say anything about do not kill. We do that in war all the time. There's no biblical principle against that. It's the murder issue. That's a good point in what you're making. Is it murder? Is it self-defense? Is it killing? What is it? Murder is that's sinful. Killing is not. There's a difference. So I'm saying there's a difference in this one too.
Some things are wise and foolish.
That, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would think that the tenor there, the scriptures teach, if it's foolish, that's sinful. We're not taught to be foolish. We're taught to be wise. See, there's another one of those.
We look, just like in propaganda, whatever situation, laws coming up, whatever, we bring in this horrible exception, and we've got to not let that ever happen, so let's change the whole rule so that'll never happen. And that's
exactly
the point, that the rule
exactly
is still the best way, but we don't need to avoid every woman's got to go work or go to college or anything else, because your husband might die, or your husband might do this or that.
Right.
What makes an exception? Exception, circumstance, motivation, being forcibly put into that situation, though your intent was not to be in that situation.
Right.
So I didn't say a wife who is now the provider of the home. I didn't ask or set out to be this, but circumstances putting me into this situation, and I need to do it.
But see, here's the point too. Take your illustration of the war. It's a good one. So, if those women at that time felt that was sinful, they could not do that. Period. Can't do it. That's the point here. You can't do things that are sinful. You cannot rationalize it. You cannot justify it. If it's sinful, it is forbidden. Period. And there may be one exception to that, in that we talk about the conscience issue. Scripture is clear. Your conscience tells you it's sin. You can't do it either. So there, now we're compounding the issue. But at the same time, it is a biblical principle. We stand on those all the time. There are certain things we as Christians will not do, regardless of what the government teaches.
or wants us to do. We're not doing it. This, any sinful situation ought to be evaluated that way, including intercession. In, for women to work outside the home, as it's gone, children raised by somebody else. You're going to have to make a stand. Either is or it isn't.
Why does the Bible tell the church to take care of
the
widows and take care of the men? If you just go get a job and take care of yourself anyway. Was that cultural? Or was that...
Well, that's a very good question. We know in Jewish culture that it would not have been appropriate or proper for... There would be no opportunity for her to do that, even though...
Right.
Lydia, Jew, yep. At the river, seller of purple. Right. So, and her husband is not mentioned. When it talks about the church meeting in Lydia's home, it's mentioned as her home, not her husband's. So, we don't know where he is, why he's gone, but she's obviously got some type of entrepreneurship going on.
And don't know if she had any kids either.
That's true.
I think it depends also on what's best for your role. If my mom sent me to school a lot, even though I was homeschooled, but she couldn't teach a dyslexic kid how to read. So it was best for her role to have someone else come in and teach me. And so I think it also depends on what's best for your family at that time. So I do like that you distinguish, you know, should we have a stay-at-home mom versus, you know, some people just want the wife to always stay at home, whether they have kids or not. And, I mean, totally up to
that. I'm kind of like that, although Sandy works some, you know, mm-hmm. But even after the kids have been grown, I didn't want her to go back to work full time, be somebody to keep the home fires burning. But that's kind of a personal preference, really, and an identification with some of the more traditional ways of dividing things up. You know, I earn the living, you cook the meals and do the cleaning and so forth.
So it's okay to just keep redefining paper upon it. I mean, because that's, as your cultural, is that what we're doing?
Well, I did say that keeper of home looks very different depending on culture you're in. I mean, in Industrial Revolution, because keeper of the home is in contrast to provider of the home, and if provider of the home used to be you're operating out of the home, and now it's you're operating in the factory, we, by changing what provider looks like, we are having to contrast that with keeper of the home. So, yes, I. There's also a difference between the question of what and the question of how. I think we all maybe would understand the what behind this. It's the how. How do we apply the what? Is the husband father, leader of the home? Yes. Is the wife mother, nurturer, caretaker of the children? Yes. Okay. How does that look?
Yeah. You know, I have been careful in the way I have presented things to present them as ideals, not sins. You know, Martin brought in the sin idea. And, you know, he's right. I mean, a sin is something that's very distinct and defined. Especially, I would even say, Martin, is there are areas of sin that are a lot so hard to define that you can't, you know, like we talked about, I think probably, I don't know if you and I have, but, you know, like the Bible condemns being harsh.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, there, you know, some of what Paul says seems harsh, but I don't think it's sinfully harsh. So how do you know? There are some areas that are hard to define. Others are like clear cut. You know, adultery is adultery. I'm sorry. Yeah, it just is. And so forth. Or stealing or whatever. You know, there are areas where things are clear. There are areas where things become a little more difficult to sort out. I think in the kinds of principles we're dealing in here, it's probably in the area of a little bit more difficult to sort out. I think there could be sinful attitudes involved, or there could be some kind of neglectfulness or unwillingness to, wrong priorities, if you will. You know, I'd rather have a whole bunch of money coming in, more than what we need, rather than do the kind of parenting with my kids that would be appropriate. Now, that's not something you could define in such a way that, you know, you're going to bring this person up before the church for church discipline because the wife went to work. We're not talking about that. That should never happen. But it doesn't mean you can't think about the principles involved and try to encourage people. Like, that's basically what I'm trying to do here without drawing real super hard lines. You know, I don't think I can do that. I draw real hard lines where I think I should. But in other areas, and I've made it clear, you know, in these kinds of things, I have leanings. I think I would describe it as wisdom. I would describe it as best. I would describe it as more natural. I mean, the woman and the man, they're different from birth. Our society denies that. And that's part of the reason why some of these controversies arise, because our society is in denial about the difference between men and women. I mean, anatomically, women are designed to take care of babies, right? I mean, this is just like, duh. But our society denies it. And does that mean that she can be the only one to take it? No, it doesn't. But it does speak to the fact that there's a connection there, and there's a naturalness about it. And I think the more traditional roles tend to be more natural and more in keeping with how we're designed, even. Yeah.
Well, you're saying, how do you persuade your team to accept the idea of a stay-at-home mom and, you know, the males being the breadwinners and that? I think it all starts from that team, the mentality of, from when they're young, you should be training, or we should all be training our young men that before you marry, before you walk down that aisle, it should be, are you ready to provide for not just a wife, but for children?
Yeah.
Because it should not be, well, 5 years after this, then we'll be ready to start. No, because you don't know what God has
yeah.
for you. So therefore, you need to be financially ready to take a wife, and as taking a wife, you're ready to have children. And if you are not financially to that point, you don't get married. Because as soon as you step down that first path and you're like, well, we'll work. We'll both be working because we won't have kids in the home. You've already started down a different branch, which then the financial pressure from the world dictates and mandates that both husband and wife work outside the home. Then when children come, there's more expenses. And so it just keeps piling on. Whereas if from the time they're young men, if we start training them, save your money, make long-term goals that if marriage is down the future, you need to start thinking about being the breadwinner. You need to start planning on your wife staying at home from the day one, whether you have children or not. That's what you want. So you have to plan for it 15 steps in advance. You can't wait until you're right there and then make up your mind to do it. Financially, it doesn't work that way. And then I think a lot of our Christian homes, that's the problem. We don't have a way of getting out of the financial pitfall that we started into, so the mom ends up having to work and the dad works because they're trying to pay off those bills, to not be a debtor, to not have that sin over their heads, to clear that air. But in doing so, you can't get off the loop. It just keeps going round and round and round.
Yeah, I understand and appreciate what you're trying to prevent there. Now, I come back at you with a situation. I'll give you an actual situation. It's my youngest son. He got married. They decided that for the first 2 years of their marriage, they weren't going to have kids. We have birth control available to us, which they didn't have even in biblical times. And they were going to work, put aside money, and then after so many years or whatever, I think it went a little longer than they intended, but they're going to have kids. And they stuck to that plan. They weren't unable to stick to it. They made the plan. They stuck to it. Now they have a kid. Now the wife's at home taking care of the kid. So if somebody has the discipline to do that, I mean, you can't say, well, you just can't do it because you're going to get yourself in a bad situation. Well, you know, you warn them. You could be putting yourself in a bad situation if you're not disciplined about it. But we want to make sure we don't draw our lines too tightly to where we exclude people who maybe have a discipline to do that, right?
No, I'm just saying that when they're younger, helping them to start thinking along those lines instead of just
sure.
Teenagers, you know, whatever, that's all in the future, but to actually start planning ahead.
I think that Amy brought up some good points on like a subcategory of the expectation we put upon ourselves to have a certain quality of living
yeah.
that requires a dual income.
Yeah,
I think that's a very good observation. So encouraging our teens, I do think that there's sin is sin, righteousness is righteousness. I also think that Jesus often points to the heart.
Sure.
The motivation behind our actions. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount, he's...
Oh, yeah.
Saying, you know,
no question.
Here's sin, you've heard it said, but look in here.
Right.
So your intent, your motivation is huge. So in training the team, what I would desire to do is encourage them in their desire to boy be provider leader, desire for girl to be nurturer or caretaker.
Yeah.
And as you instill those principles, those desires, then perhaps the applications of those that may look different in each of our circumstances whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So that whatever you do is a broad stroke of the brush.
Oh yeah.
But it's got to be with a motivation to honor God. And if you cannot do X, Y, and Z to the honor of God, to the glory of God, then do not do it.
Sure. Sure.
Well, in my case, we wanted children, and God didn't give us children for years and years.
That happens.
He later did. meanwhile, my goal was, I mean, I went to college, got a job, but my goal was never to have a career. And but I worked. We lived off of Kim's lesser salary and saved all of mine. So by the time I was able to stay home, our house was paid off. But we didn't get used to living on two. We never got used to living on two salaries.
Yeah.
Because we knew that was not going to...
And that's kind of a mindset. That's more of a mindset, I think, than anything. You know.
So, I mean, I guess that's the thing. It's not like it's a sin for a girl to go to college. It's not a sin for a girl to ever have a job.
Exactly.
But I think it's...
You gotta think.
And for a girl's goal to be, I don't need men. I'm gonna have a career. I'm gonna go be the top-notch lawyer. I'm gonna, you know.
Yeah.
I think that is a sin because that's not what God designed.
My parents, I think growing up, because Amy kind of missed, I think, what I said very first before you got in here. We came off that, but it was, like I said, we didn't come kind of prepackaged with that mindset. I don't think either one of our parents ever pushed us to do anything that I would say is sinful. But we had two salaries, and when we went to one, we just downsized.
Yeah.
We did. I mean, we wanted, with the end in mind, when we had kids, eventually for her to be able to stay at home, but it was going to be a different home if it was going to be on one salary. And it just happened to happen about the time that we moved. So we just said, look, when we move, we'll downsize. I mean, when the time comes, I think what Tim said, your heart motivation, I think when the time came, God changed our hearts and our desires for what we wanted and what we knew we could have. And just, you know, being wise about it, praying for wisdom in those situations. But
it's like what you said about God guiding you and circumstances changing in your life. Nobody can say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and by this age, I'm going to do this. We don't plan out. I mean, man can make his plan of steps, but God's going to direct us back.
Exactly.
So there's always that.
Yeah, I don't look back on anything I do and go, that was sinful. I look back now and go, I could have done other things that were wiser, possibly.
Yeah.
But then also look at all the good ways God blessed me during that time too. Blessings change as time goes.
Okay, of course, I'm trying to be faithful to our time too. Make a quick mark, and we're gonna
make it quick.
We'll have to wrap up here.
I brought this up for a reason. I'm kind of glad nobody bounced out there with an answer. I think that if we're not going to come down on the sinful issue in this particular area, it's very, very volatile. We all have, and they're on opposite ends sometimes. We're not going to come down on the sin issue, then it is, we need to be very, very careful how we judge one another and how we raise our families. So.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to overjudge or whatever, but at the same time, we can encourage one another in areas we think are wisdom or in areas where we think, I'm not sure about that attitude. What do you think? And, you know, you want to engage people. So, but it's an area you need to be careful because a lot of times we want to make everything real cut and dried, cookie cutter, which is
especially
what your
kids are concerned because we're
or anything's concerned. There's hardly an area where we wouldn't do that probably if it were left to our own devices. Folks, it's been very, very good discussion. I wish we could just keep on going, but I want to be fair to our time here. I've actually already been unfair. Let me close this up. Father, we just thank you so much. Good discussion. Appreciate the openness here, the various things that have been put forth, the desire to ultimately let Scripture rule, I think is that everyone's at the heart of what everyone is saying, even though at this point maybe we would come to different conclusions about what that looks like. Help us to bear with one another in these things, encourage one another, and be wise and be faithful. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You're dismissed.